John chapter 6. John chapter 6, reading at verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said, therefore, unto him, What sign showest thou, then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, and as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. One of the most important texts, verses in all the Bible. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and believe not. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. He who eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And I know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious and holy word. One of the most powerful statements made by the Lord Jesus Christ are recorded in these words. I am the bread of life. When you go to the Middle East, you discover that bread is the staple food. It's the principal food of the people. All of the other dishes are considered as accessories. And so bread is sacred to them. Bread is sacred to them. In fact, if a Jew or Arab finds pieces of bread on the road, they would never walk on it. They would stoop down, pick it up, either put it in their pocket or put it somewhere where a poor beggar or someone who was in need of bread passing by could have something to eat. And so bread is very, very important as it speaks of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ picks this up, knowing how important this was to them. And the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to teach them of the importance of God's life, and that God's life had come down to them, that he was that life, that he was that true bread. He talked to them about the bread that their forefathers ate in the wilderness, which was manna, which many of them thought would give them everlasting life. They thought that they would eat that and they would live forever. And as long as they ate it, their life was sustained. But he said, you know, every one of them died who ate that bread. There is only one true bread. And that true bread is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was presenting himself as the bread that gives life. And he was saying to them that if you are going to know sustenance, if you are going to know life everlasting, then you must come to partake of this bread. Because it's through heavenly bread, he is that heavenly bread, that spiritual life is brought to mankind. And so he alone could make this statement, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Now I want you to notice several things that come out in the scriptures concerning bread and concerning this type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, as that living bread, was bruised for us. In fact, when you go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 28 and verse 28, it says he was the bread corn that was bruised. Now you see, before bread can be made, you must take corn and you must crush it. It has to come under the pressure of a grindstone. And then it has to be mixed in kneading troughs. And so it's a type of what was produced through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a type of the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might provide for this world everlasting life. Isaiah tells us that he was wounded. The same prophet says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. There's a story told of an infidel fireman who once rescued a little boy. There was a burning cottage, and the fireman was called, and he rescued the little boy. But in order to rescue that little boy, he had to climb up on hot pipes. Because you see, the boy was on the second story, the second floor. And as he clung to those pipes in order to climb up to rescue the boy, the pipes containing boiling water, they caused his hands to be badly scarred. The woman who cared for the boy, she perished in that same fire. And so the question arose as to who would take the boy. A couple came forward, and they said, we should like to have this boy. We've done very well in life. We've got plenty of money. We have no children of our own. We'd like to give him a good education. We'd like to give this boy a good start in life. Many others came forward, presented their case, offered the boy a nice home. At last, it was time for the fireman to speak. And the fireman simply said, I should like to have him. And as he stood, he showed his scarred hands. Unanimously, they agreed that the fireman had the greatest claim on this child. Well, there were some in that crowd who objected because they said, this man is an unbeliever. But you know, the boy, he loved that fireman. And the fireman adopted him, became a father to him, became a good father to him. Loved that boy just like his own child. One day, as was his custom to take the boy on different excursions to explore different parts of the city, one day he took him to an art gallery. And as they walked through the art gallery, the boy caught sight of a painting of Christ on the cross. And he asked the man, he said, who was that, Daddy? And the man tried to silence the boy. And very quickly, he took the boy into another room away from that picture. But you see, the little boy was so impressed that he gave him no peace until he had heard the gospel story. The man telling the boy the gospel story. He said, you see, it was Jesus Christ, and he let them put him on the cross for our sins. And as he did, the truth shone into his heart. And he believed, he became a Christian himself. Because he realized that it was Jesus Christ who had the greatest claim on his life. Because he died on the cross. And Jesus Christ has the greatest claim on every one of our lives. He was bruised. But Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us that Christ was baked for us. He was the meal offering. And Leviticus talks about how the meal offering was placed in the oven. And there's no way when you eat that meal offering or you eat a loaf of bread for you to know what transpires in the darkness of that oven. With the Lord Jesus Christ, it was the darkness of the oven of God's holy wrath. The songwriter was so enwrapped by this, he wrote these words, none of the ransomed ever knew. How deep were the waters crossed? How dark was the night? He was the meal offering. How dark was the night? He was in the oven. And God turned the temperature up. God baked him. God caused him to feel the pain of our sins. The songwriter again said, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. It was in that oven. We hear these words. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Someone has written these words. Yet once Emmanuel's orphaned cry, the universe hath shaken. It went up single, echoless. My God, I am forsaken. It went up from his holy lips and his lost creation that no one else need ever cry that cry of desolation. But those who reject Jesus Christ, while they need not cry that cry, the Bible says they'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. When Christ comes, and those who have rejected his claims of mercy realize that they are lost, that they had an opportunity to receive him, and they rejected him. They rejected him. You see, fine flour speaks of the evenness and balance of the character of Christ. His character was perfect. There was nothing lacking in his character. But then the fire speaks of the testing how? By suffering. Suffering even unto death. Frankincense speaks of the fragrance of his life before God. He said, I came to do the will of my Father God and to finish it. And so every day the Lord Jesus Christ lived, he never wasted a moment. He never wasted an hour. His life was planned. And he lived it to the fullest. That he might glorify his Father who was in heaven. He did his will here on earth. And that will led him to Calvary and led him to the grave. And wherefore God hath highly exalted him, because on that great Easter morning we sing, up from the grave he arose. And because he's alive forevermore, God exalted him. Because he was obedient unto death, even the very death of the cross. And so his life before God was a fragrance. It went up before God as a sweet-smelling savor. But in that offering, there was the absence of leaven. It speaks of his character. John 14:6, the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What kind of character? Truth. Always thought truth. Always spoke truth. His character was that there was absolutely nothing in him where anyone could say that he sinned or he thought a sin. There was nothing in him that could respond to sin, because he was that holy one. But there was the absence of honey in this meal offering. The absence of honey. Because the Lord Jesus Christ didn't need some artificial sweetener. He is the rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. And he is sweet to our taste. He is the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. But there was oil mingled. Oil mingled. And it speaks of Christ that was born of the Holy Spirit. That holy thing, that's what was said to Mary, which is in you, is by the Holy Spirit. But he was God. But he was God. And that holy thing, Mary was only a vehicle used by God, an instrument that was used by God. If you're here this evening, you're trusting in Mary. Let me tell you that you'll never be saved. You'll never get to heaven. I'm not sorry to tell you that you need to trust in Jesus Christ. Mary has absolutely no virtue. There's absolutely no saving power in what Mary did. Highly favored? Yes, highly favored. A servant of Jehovah. To bear the Savior of the world. Chosen among women. God chose her. I don't have the answer. I don't have the reason why God chose her. But I say highly favored. But having absolutely no power to save me. Or save herself. She had to trust in that one that she brought into the world. But then there was oil upon it. You remember how Christ was baptized with the Spirit. What about the oven? The oven speaks of that unseen sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we must look at him in agony. Not only on the cross. On the cross we see him, and we focus a lot about on the cross and his sufferings on the cross. Because that's what we see. But the hymn writer was right when he said, none of the ransomed ever knew. We'll be discovering these things throughout the countless ages of eternity. They're a mystery to us. How that God was in Christ. And yet God was meting out to him the punishment for the sins of the world. But then it was put in a pan. It was put on the pan. And there were the evident sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ as you see him put in the pan. You can see it. The fire is under the pan. And he's that meal offering that's baked. But thirdly, Christ was broken for us. Speaking of his death, he could say through Paul, as he talked about the worship of the saints. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 24, he said, this is my body. as he took bread and broke it, which is broken for you. He was broken for us at Calvary. He was bruised for us. He was baked for us. The Lord Jesus Christ allowed that to happen to himself so that he could be the bread of life. So that he could say, if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And I thank God there are those who can stand up and testify here this evening that they have eaten of that bread. They know of a time. They know of a place. They know when the transaction took place between them and the loving Heavenly Father. And they are thanking the Lord Jesus Christ this evening for being bruised, for being baked, and for being broken. I believe every one of us ought to stand to our feet and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for being bruised for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being baked for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being broken for me because you took my place. In my place, condemned, you stood, sealed my pardon with your blood. Hallelujah. You're a great Savior. And so he could say, if any man eat this bread, the truth that I bring to you, my words are truth. My words that I speak, I tell you, you must trust in the living God. And I have been sent down here that I might die on the cross. You must trust in my work, my finished work. There was once a very dreadful famine in India. A missionary was visiting around the village, and he met a boy, and he was nothing but skin and bones. And so he said to the boy, there's a mission compound, and they'll give you food. Go immediately to that mission compound. And the boy said, they won't accept me. I need some authorization. I need something to get me in. And so the missionary took a slip of paper from his pocket, and he addressed a note to the storekeeper, and he gave it back to the little boy, and he said, that is my promise of food for you. Well, it was several days later, the poor boy was found lying dead on one of the side streets in the town. And in his pocket, they found that little piece of paper. He had never acted upon the promise. He had never appropriated what could have been, what would have been the means of life. Food which would have helped him to live. He died. He died from starvation. And I wonder how many people, some in this room this evening, who are dying from starvation, not of the bread which our forefathers ate in the wilderness. They ate it and they died. And you can eat that and still die. You can eat all the steaks and all the food and still die. But the bread that came down from heaven. I wonder how many in this community, how many around this world this evening are dying because they will not act upon God's promise. And God's promise is this: if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Heavenly bread sustains spiritual life. Jesus said, as the living Father sent me, and I live by my Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. There is an abundant supply. We can eat of the Lord Jesus Christ, that bread. And we can continue to feed upon that bread, which is Christ. The children of Israel were told in the wilderness, when Moses was going to bring them out of Egypt, they were told to slay a lamb and apply the blood to the doorpost and the lintel. And God said, when I see the blood, I'll hover over and protect you. It was the night of the Passover. They always remembered that. But you know, sometimes what they forgot was this, that God said, as you eat that meat roast with fire, you are to remember that it speaks of Christ. And as you go through the wilderness, you have to remember that God will provide for you. He'll be a lasting provision as you eat this bread. It typifies His suffering, roasted with fire. And very soon they forgot. And they went asking God for the onions and the leeks and the garlics. They didn't get very far out there when they complained that we were starving. And when God sent them manna, it was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a little round white thing. They complained about it. And they grumbled and complained about Jesus Christ as far as God was concerned. God did not hold them guiltless for what they did. And because they complained, many of them perished. Many of them didn't believe God and they hoarded it and it stank the next day. And God said, I'll provide for you for every day. Sufficient for every day. In France, there once lived a very poor blind girl. And she was able to get a Gospel of Mark. And it was in Braille. The raised letters, you know. And she was learning to read it by the tip of her fingers. And because she read it so much, running her fingers over it, her fingers became very callous. And her sense of touching diminished. And pretty soon she couldn't distinguish the characters. And one day, because of her desire to hear God's word and to communicate with God, she cut the callus off her fingers. And as she did that, the whole sense of feeling and all the sensitivity was gone. She had destroyed it. But she felt that she must now give up her beloved book. And as she was weeping and crying over this, she pressed it to her lips. And she was kissing it and saying, farewell, farewell. And to her surprise, her lips were more delicate than her fingertips. And she began to discern the form of the letters. And all night, she didn't sleep that night. She perused with her lips the Word of God. And she overflowed with joy that now, once again, not with her fingertips, that was gone, but with her lips, she could communicate with her Heavenly Father. And we do it by feeding not only on the Word of God, but by on the will of God. He could say, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. And by feeding on the work of God. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. My meat is to finish His work. The Lord Jesus Christ came to do the will of His Father God. Eating of Christ day by day as the bread of life involves, number one, meditation on His word. Meditation upon His word. Not just to read a chapter and put it down. We need to meditate upon the word of God. Read it and go back over it and sit with it and look at it and remember what's been said and go back over it again. Meditating on the Word of God. And it requires being dedicated to the will of God. And it requires being consecrated to the work of God. But our Heavenly Father supplies bread that satisfies our spiritual life. Ruth is introduced to Boaz. And towards the end of chapter 2, he invites her to come to his table. And the Bible says he reaches her parched grain. It's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that she ate, she was sufficed, and she left. Because that's what the Word of God does. It satisfies our longings because man has this longing to know God. Man has this deep longing. It's a spiritual need. And because man is void of God, there's a great big vacuum that needs to be filled and can only be filled by a great big God. It's a great big vacuum in a man that doesn't know Jesus Christ. And when a man begins to hunger for truth, he's hungering for life. He'll never find that fulfillment in things that he eats or things that he sees or things that he wears or things that he does. Is there any wonder that St. Augustine expressed it this way? Thou hast made us for thyself, he said about God. And our restless souls can find no rest until they find their rest in thee, most holy Jehovah. And so as the bread from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ satisfies our hunger for God, our hunger for truth, and our hunger for life. What about the hunger for God? He said he's the bread that comes down from heaven. That bread which came down, which giveth life and light unto the world. What about the hunger for truth? The Lord Jesus said this, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Truth comes from him. Whether it's truth in the world or truth in the individual's life or truth in the local church, it comes from him. And then there's the hunger for life. He said, I'm the bread of life. Man's hungry for life. Man can't do anything unless he has life. And yet man doesn't realize that the greatest life is the life that comes from God. The life that is everlasting. The life that will help him to be at peace with his God. And the life that brings peace to his soul so that he can one day have the assurance of being with God. I am that bread that came down from heaven. I trust that this evening there will be those who will partake of that bread. Invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give you thanks for your word. We thank you for that living bread. We thank you, Father, for his enduring the shame of the cross. We thank you for his enduring the pain of the cross. We thank you, Father, that he was ever mindful of the purposes of God. And we thank you, Father, that even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he could pray, not my will, but thine be done. Thank you, Father, we couldn't see. We're the ransomed. We can't understand all that he passed through. But we hear him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken for us, we thank you, Father, this evening. We pray for some poor lost soul this evening, that the truth of thy word will sink deep into their hearts. And they will realize, unless they have tasted of this bread from heaven, that they will die and die in their sins. We pray this will not be so, that no one from Spanish Wells will die in their sins, never tasting of that bread, but that this evening, our Father, they will come to taste and see that the Lord is good. We give thee our thanks in his precious name.